right, we are live. It is a chilly Friday morning in Johannesburg and in the rest of South Africa, but we are here to keep you warm. We have plenty to talk about this morning, plenty of cool stuff. Before we get into anything serious or ridiculous, I just have to show you this clip. This was in British news over the weekend, and I think it's one of the dumbest things, and I love it. There's a woman who thought she'd rescued a hedgehog from her garden. And this is an actual news story. So take a look at this. This is if you think you're having a rough day and that you don't cope with the pressures of society, just have a look at this. This will make you feel better.
A woman had a surprise when she thought she was nursing an injured baby hedgehog. Take a look at this. Janet Cott spent a night looking after it and even brought it to an animal hospital in a box with a small dish of food next to it. But she made the discovery when she opened the box and realized the so-called hedgehog was in fact the bobble of a woolly hat.
Yeah, it was, you know, the top of one of those hats that people have where they have like that pom-pom on the hat?
Yeah.
That thing? This woman thought that that was a hedgehog, so she she took it to the vet. So it was just a stupid, like, furry thing from a hat, but she thought it was a hedgehog. So.
I would love to know what else this woman gets wrong in life. The follow-up interview should be, what else are you mistaking?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the sad thing, right? It's like they should have interviewed her. They should have sat down with her and said, all right, lady, tell us about your the way you see the world. And look at the situation.
How do you get it so wrong?
A bobble has no weight or heat. It's just wool. How do you...
Did she not just poke?
It doesn't move, for starters. It does not move. Anyway, wasn't this news article a fake news prank to demonstrate how gullible the news is at picking random stories? No, this is real. This is an absolute story in the news. I love it. Okay. As I said, Warris will be joining us in a short while. We're going to check in with him. But we were talking about Madeleine McCann. Now, I know that the British press... You talk about them being stupid. They're obsessed with this Madeleine McCann story. It's years ago, and it still comes up every now and then in the British press. They're absolutely obsessed with this little girl who went missing when her parents went to Portugal on a holiday. They left her. She's a toddler. They left her in the apartment on her own and went out for dinner, and then she just mysteriously went missing. And they've searched every corner of the world. There have been adult women, because she would be in her 20s now, I think. There are adult women who've been thought to be Madeleine McCann. And I mean, I was over this story 5 years in already, maybe even a year and a half in. But it keeps coming up, Ben. And I don't know, some of us find it mildly amusing now because it's so long ago that you can't really get upset about it. But this is, it's clear. And a lot of people have said from the beginning that the parents must have been, if they weren't actually involved in, you know, the disappearance, they're at very best negligent parents to just leave a toddler in an apartment on her own. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, terrible parents. Why is this still a story?
I don't know. But if you go into Google at any stage of the year, you will find a fresh Madeleine McCann story. Yeah. Like, I go on to Google this now, people.com, 10th of June, wrote a story. But the thing is, they do the whole story. So there's the whole, please find our Madeleine. And then it just goes, where are they now? And they just look sad. And that's the story?
Yeah. I mean, listen, also, these parents have been living off of the hype around the story for three decades now. They met the Pope. They've been feted all over the world. They've been, you know, there's heads of state going, we're so sorry. And it's like the sympathy never runs out on the Madeleine McCann parents. Everywhere
it's
they
a
go.
Weird celebrity play.
It is. It's a bizarre way to get famous, right?
And they own their own niche. So this clip that you spoke about, I was watching it last night. This guy from Scotland Yard. So he's retired, so he can say what he wants. It's great. Yep. This clip's actually great. The guy's interviewing him. If you look in the background, there's cats attacking things in the garden. It's a real entertaining watch. So there were a couple of key things here, Gareth, and I don't want to take your Madeleine McCann thunder here, but it's clear she's dead. So everybody comes out and says, I am Madeleine, mental issues. Right. And the guy, she addresses this. Madeleine's parents were swingers. So there's that. And he believes that that night that she was reported missing, she was already dead. Sure. Whatever happened to her, it happened the day before.
Wow. Okay. So these are revelations to people who followed the story and want resolution. MM says in the comments, I'm Madeleine, but nobody believes me.
That's the most convincing Madeleine I've seen so far. We've and got I mean, initials that initials. The initials match. Well, so let's delve into those other things I brought up there.
Here she is, everybody. It's unreal. But I mean, so the parents were swingers. This is a thing that's fairly new information, right?
Yeah. So you can't really trust swingers, right? Because they're not honoring their marriage. They're going with the flow, easily distracted. Because if you're a swinger, it means you're not committing to what your day-to-day is. You're always looking for something else. Now, if you're looking for something else, you're not looking after your kid. Let's take the sexual deviance out of this. You're just easily distracted. Another thing this guy brought up that was a really good point is that it was claimed that Madeleine was taken through a window. So a transient pedophile, that's another phrase he used, which I thought was funny. Just like a passing by pedo is like, I'm going to steal that child.
Yeah.
But then you have to go through the window and go...
Opportunistic pedo.
Opportunistic pedos. So, Sabir, I don't know, like, if anyone picked you up as a child, you didn't like it. You made a noise.
Yes.
You would, right?
Yes.
So if this hashtag transient pedo is coming around and wants to yank you out of a window, you create a commotion. No. There was no screams. There was no howls. There was no alerting of this. No doors were used. This person climbed in out of a window. So what this guy's now saying is that the kid might have died by accident. Maybe the parents didn't kill the kid in an act of absolute malice.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe the kid fell out the window, broke its neck. Maybe one of the other kids killed it. You know, kids play around, knives, hot plates. And this is where this guy's getting at. So contrast the parents, sexual deviance.
Mm-hmm.
Kids die. That's how it works in life, unfortunately. And then they panicked, disposed of the body. Next day, they then said she went missing. Rest my case.
You would have been a very good investigating officer, Ben. That's all I can say. I think Ben's done a good job of giving us the facts without any unnecessary nonsense and emotion. I just wonder if you wanted to stage your own disappearance. Let's just take this away from Madeleine McCann, because I do think everybody kind of accepts the situation as Ben's laid it out. And if you don't, then, you know, by all means, go crazy in the comments. But if you had to try and go missing, it's really difficult to go missing in 2024 because people have such a trail, right? We were talking just before Ben came in this morning at 8:30 about how everything you say on the internet is there forever. And because you've got a phone, I mean, you can even see it in the Senzo Miura case, which is going on and on and on, right? They are able to track where people were when they got messages on their phones and when they sent messages to their phones. And this is our police who are, let's just put it gently and kindly, they're not the most incredible investigating officers in the world, okay? So they're using technology. You can track people. You know where they are. You can find out. You can triangulate from various cell phone towers roughly where people are in the country without really digging into too much data or detail. And this is something that we can do right now. It's going to be difficult if you want to disappear. If you really wanted to get, if you wanted to make your own, fake your own disappearance and go and live in another country under a made up name, you wanted to escape from reality, you wanted to start again, it would be a damn hard thing to do. I don't even know how I'd go about it because there's so many ways. First of all, you can't cross a border without someone seeing a passport, right? There are probably ways you could get onto planes that illegally cross borders. But that's risky. I mean, look how they found Dr. Nandi and Thabo Bester. They found them in Tanzania, remember? I think it's hard. If you want to really try and escape and disappear, and you're actually the one who's trying to do it, you're not trying to hide someone else, it's pretty damn difficult.
So there's more evidence, Gareth. I need to bring some more steps in here. I haven't watched the Netflix series thing. I kind of watched the beginning and I was like, over this. But Keela, the blood dog sniffing like character of the story here, they brought this dog in. The dog sniffed blood. The dog wanted to go on the hunt. Kate, I think Madeline's mother, was already washing the toys, washing the scent off things. She apparently refused to answer 40 questions when the Portuguese police set her down. Wow. And those Portuguese police from the start said they killed her. Obviously, they said it in a different accent, so it wasn't taken seriously. But they said that. And that's how it worked. And she was like, don't understand you. But they said it. And this dog sniffed it out that there was skullduggery afoot.
Yeah. Always trust the dog. They're not going to lie. They don't have motives.
Yeah, I mean, these dogs are impartial. They just want to sniff their nuts and sniff other things.
Correct. And if the dog feels bad, then you've got to trust the dog. But if you did, if you tried to escape from the world and fake your own disappearance, do you even have an idea of where you would go? If you wanted to disappear anywhere, Ben, what would you do?
No.
If I had to disappear,
probably stay in South Africa.
Yeah, there's enough places to hide here.
But where? I mean, like, what would be your bolt hole? Where would you go and hide and keep a quiet, low profile for a while? Because remember, the other thing is that there are cameras everywhere, right? Shops all have cameras in them.
Oh, just come to the East Rand.
Yeah, but don't you guys also have cameras in your shops?
There's a lot of cameras in the East Rand.
Yeah.
It's the home of security, yes, Sibuya. Cheapest.
No, it's just in Bedford View. They have assets to protect. It's the home of surveillance. The rest, nah. In fact, Benoni, to be exact, I'd go there.
I would go to the Lowveld. There's plenty of places in the Lowveld.
I mean, Barely Vocal Media says nice in a forest. That could be a good place to hide. The Karoo, says Hameen. Camps Bay, says Vyasan. I don't know about that. I promise you there are no cameras in the Karoo. I think you'd have to go away from the cities and the towns. Because there are, we've got those toll gantries, which don't really work anymore, but you can see pictures. I mean, I remember when they sent me my first e-toll bill, which I ignored. But there was a photograph, and I suppose if you had a good zoom on it, you could probably see the person driving the car. And that's people who are just on the highway. You wouldn't think on the highway people would know where you are. And as I said, they can triangulate your phone from cell phone beacons. Shopping malls all have cameras in them. People don't know how much they are being tracked, even if you think you're not. And then you spend everywhere you go with your credit card, everywhere you spend money, there's a trail. So you'd have to be really, really, you'd have to use cash only. You'd have to go to a very rural place. You would probably have to grow or hunt your own food so that you don't have to go to shops. But if you really wanted to disappear, it's a big, difficult job. It's not like it would have been 50 years ago. It's really tough to do that stuff.
Especially if you're recognizable.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you're in big
trouble. I think maybe this is the perfect time to join a cult. This is where I'd endorse it. This is where I'm like, if you want to get away from everything and everyone, because cults do that. They take you away from society. You don't have any technology. They pay for everything. They make sure you isolate it. You probably get a new name. You also get a new look, so you don't look like the person you were before. And you also get indoctrinated in this new culture of living. So a cult is the answer to this.
Shani says you should go to Marion Island. But again, to get to Marion Island, there's like one ship and it goes there twice a year. So people are going to notice. It's not like there are 5,000 people on that ship going to Marion Island. And again, most people only know about Marion Island from the KFC ad that's been going around lately. But John Bad Dog disagrees with you, Simpy, where he says, sorry, Benoni is full of cameras now. They have cameras at every point of entry to Benoni.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Is Brakpan still safe?
No. No, probably not. Jared says, my in-laws live in Douglas in the Northern Cape, and I'm pretty sure there are already people there that are living a double life. Go to Douglas. I don't even know where that is on a map.
That sounds like fun.
Douglas.
You create your own Aranya. Do your own thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to reinvent yourself. I don't think a three-year-old child was reinventing itself, though. I think
definitely not. Definitely
so,
not.
Sorry, Gareth, there was one other point there that I left out. That sniffer dog.
Mm-hmm.
So you get these high-end spaniels.
Okay.
They smell for different things, and they signal for different things. So that dog went to the rental car of those McCanns. Mm-hmm. The dog smelled corpse odor and Ooh. Blood. As in a dead body was put in the car.
That's kind of that's the clincher, right? That's the delivered part of it, because you can't, the dog's not gonna lie. And if the dog smelled in the rental car, either the person who hired the car just before the McCanns was a professional murderer, or they were transporting a dead body. There's only two ways to answer that question. Am I right? That's pretty much the whole shebang.
So, yeah, trust spaniels. Don't trust swinging English holidaymakers. I think that's the real moral of the story.
Correct. Very good. Oh, here's a very good suggestion from Carl. He says, if you want to hide out from the rest of the world, just go to Milady's at Eastgate. He says, nobody would look for an in-shape male there if you, you know.
Just a word of warning, if you go to Milady's and try some clothes on, look out for a man behind a curtain. Carl's just giving away his modus operandi.
Yeah, and tell the police so that they could come and get rid of him, because you're not allowed to hang around the change rooms at Milady's, Carl.
Carl, that's probably the darkest thing you've said. And you said some things on the show.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay, so quickly, Ben, you asked ChatGPT what you should talk about on the show this morning. What did it tell you?
Lazy sons of bitches. So I was chatting with some people. I was in the office here 2 days ago. And I said, like, I'm tapped out this week. I have nothing to talk about. I'm so sported up. I'm tired. So I said to ChatGPT, what's the fun thing to... I'm going to type it in right now so that it's current. What are some fun talking points?
Oh, is this like if you're trying to break the ice on a date or something? That's what it's going to throw at you.
Let's just go with general conversation.
All right.
Okay. So you would think that maybe it might suggest something.
By the way, which ChatGPT are you using on just like WhatsApp?
I've got a free version.
Okay. Yeah, because George Meany talks to his AI when he's driving around, and he asks it questions, and then it tells him, you know, all the stuff that's going on or about a specific subject that he wants to know. And he's got like a two-way conversation going with his AI.
So I think what's happened, Simpiwe, is that ChatGPT didn't care about me on Wednesday. It heard me laughing with you, because now it's come back with more. But basically what it said was, it said, talk about your dream destinations you want to travel to. Talk about news and sport. It's just, it was so generic and useless. Talk about your favorite movie.
Ugh.
So there's nothing. But now it's come back, and I'll give it credit. Travel experiences. So share things that you've done.
Ooh.
Hobbies and interests.
Mm-hmm.
Technology and gadgets. So we could talk about cameras and Benoni. I added that. Funny stories. Have a funny story. Dreams and goals. It now wants me to get very personal. Games and puzzles. My pets.
Talk about
you could go on.
It gave me 5 things when I was sitting with you, and now it's giving me 15. This is actually an interesting AI experiment to show that they listened to us. He felt scolded. It's felt scolded.
Yeah.
Funny stories, current events, cultural differences. It wants us to explore our cultural differences. Wow.
Oh, man. Any vocal media says ChatGPT should have been consulted to form a proper government of national unity. That's hilarious. MM says, no, no, George just has an imaginary friend. That's what AI is for him. yeah. I've never, ever struggled to make conversation. I did something fun on Wednesday. Somebody who we've done some work with said to me, listen, my mother-in-law is a big fan of the show. She listens to what you guys do, and I'd love to have lunch and invite her and invite you to lunch. So I said, cool. You know, I'm always up for meeting people, and especially if they listen to the show, they're bound to be cool people if they listen to this show. So I went along, and on Wednesday afternoon, had a very nice lunch, met this guy's wife and mother-in-law, and we sat and had a very nice conversation for about, I don't know, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And it was thoroughly pleasant. I didn't know these people that well before. Only the guy that we've done some work with. And I ended up having a really good time. You know, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. And people who struggle with conversation, I always think there's so many things to talk about. There's so much going on in the world that you can't possibly sit there and go, yeah, I'm out. I'm tapped out. I have nothing to say. I have nothing valuable to add. I have nothing to laugh about. I mean, everything is perpetually funny. And I'm actually quite excited because this Saturday, I know Ben's going to the rugby, but I'm going to catch up with him either before or after or both on Saturday in Pretoria. And I think we'll have a fun time, Ben.
Of course we will. I mean, it's a funny thing that I bring up because I feel nervous about talking points. Because if I come here on Friday, I can't mention sport or politics. So I've got to find some real... I mean, how many times have I brought up aquatic animals and sexual innuendos, and like, sometimes I have nothing to say, guys. I'll always talk to you endlessly. Don't ask me for topics.
Well, don't worry. People time their morning by you, Ben, because Sanella says in the comments, Ben must leave now so I can make coffee. I wait for him to leave abruptly like he does every week as a cue to make some. So you see, people live their life according to the way you behave, Ben. Doesn't that make you feel good?
You know what, Sanella, then if I trigger a bowel movement past that, everyone also wins.
Carl says, Gareth, will you only have lunch with someone willing to pay you? No, I've never been paid. Never been paid for a lunch, but that would be kind of weird. I think I'd probably be less comfortable if I knew someone was paying to have lunch with me than if I was just invited to a lunch.
Yeah, I imagine someone says, "I want to buy you lunch."
What do you mean? Yeah. It happens all the time for me.
But like, it's like people.
Total stranger. That's all, you
know. Wouldn't have lunch with them unless they've now.
No. I'm just saying that some people have led with that. Like, hey, I'd like to take you out. And that means you're paying for the bill.
No. I mean, that's a date.
Yes, but I'm saying that's the same thing. Where I go there with the expectation that I'm just there to enjoy your company. And I'm not going to take out a dime.
So Simpi was just after a free lunch, that's all.
I'm just saying people to just offer their services or company, and I tend to not say no sometimes.
That's interesting.
So again, I'm thinking that this is a real revelation that Simpi was actually after a free lunch.
And sorry, next question. Next question. As one of those people have been Carl.
No.
Carl seems to know what paying for lunches is all about.
That's his motive. If he's not hanging around in the change rooms at Milady's, then he's inviting strange women for lunch.
Can you imagine that? You're in Milady's trying on something unflattering, and you hear whispers, hey, you want lunch? I'll buy you lunch.
All right, I love it.
Sorry, buddy. Nella needs coffee, and I need to go.
All right, Ben is going. That means Sanella is going to make coffee, and it means that we're going to get Warris in so we could talk to him and catch up. Of course, if you don't know by now, the Shady Podcast is one of our most successful shows. We started it in March of this year. They've done a couple episodes. Actually, Simpiwe is the producer of that show, so a little bit of the shine goes to her as well. They've had some amazing guests, hilarious conversations. It's one of my highlights of the week. And we'll check in with Waris in a short while and see what he's been up to. And also, he just, this guy is so busy on Twitter. I don't know how he finds the time, because he's actually got other things that he does with his day. But we've got to speak to him a little bit about all the things that he's doing online, on social media, and everywhere else. And of course, the election provided a whole bunch of material.
Jesus.
What are you doing? What's going on? What am I missing?
What is wrong with you, Jay?
Well, you don't like,
I almost had a moment, yeah.
You don't like that chair there? Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. No, I don't. This trapped me. It knew I'm not you. It was like, wow. Almost my little cameo on the show would have been me on the floor, yeah.
How are you doing, dude?
How do I look?
No, you look great. You woke up
very early, hey, Garrett.
Lots to do. We managed to steal you out of the school run, hey?
Yeah, no school run. It's school holidays.
Oh, nice.
That's good. Listen, sorry, I saw this thing that you put up just yesterday, which made me think the timing is perfect to have you on the show. Just put this picture up. I thought this was so great. First of all, I don't know why Jennifer Aniston's asking this, but look at that.
Did you see this?
There's one word to describe me, and Waris replies like instantly and goes, "Gilf."
Gilf. A lot of people miss that, yeah. You know, and I thought it was like one of my top 5 tweets of the year. What was he asking with the nipple stand?
She had a serious nipple stand going, right?
What would you like me to describe you as with the nipple stand, Jennifer?
That Jennifer Aniston is fantastic. And I'll tell you what, if I can look, she's 55 years old. If I can find a woman who looks good at 55 years old, or if I can look anything near that good at 55 years old, I will be happy with my life. I will be counting my blessings. She doesn't look a day over 35, let alone 55.
Yeah, no, she's hot. Yeah. Yes. I got into a bit of a debate with people on the responses, because people were like, don't you mean a MILF? And I said, no, not a MILF. MILF territory ends at 45. From 45, I'll put you a GILF. And then I put Jennifer Aniston, J-Lo, Salma Hayek, and who else? And Halle Berry, just to name a few, in the GILF squad, GILF gang.
Of course you would know this, because you're the MILF hunter.
I am also the GILF hunter. But there are far fewer GILFs than there are MILFs. But I do get around to them from time to time.
All of those names. So just go through them again, because each of these women deserves a special amount of attention. Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lopez, Halle Berry.
Jennifer Lopez, Halle Berry, Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek, wow.
Salma Hayek is the queen of the GILFs. She is
You have
super.
Really good taste.
Salma, loved her since Desperado. Remember Desperado, Garrett? It was like a low-budget Tarantino movie, vampire strip club.
And
plot.
Aren't you thinking From Dusk Till Dawn? Because that's the other one. That's the one.
I said Desperado. Dusk Till Dawn is the one with the vampires. Yes,
I love
Desperado.
That
was Banderas.
That's right. So the other one that comments, Sanele says Sofia Vergara. She's another one, right?
Sanele, we agree with you, sir. We see your point. We give you a tick.
You see, this is like, and we were talking with Ben just before he left now about things that you never run out of material to talk with people, even if they're complete strangers about. If you sit down with guys and you get along, I mean, like, you have to get along. They can't be assholes, but you will never run out of things to talk to them about. Simpiwe, you can learn from this. If you're ever stuck with a bunch of guys and you don't know what to talk to them about, cars, women,
that's the only trick I have. I listen to Ben, and then I'll be like, yeah, Man U is playing this weekend or something, and then they're like, and then they go on. I'm done. Yeah.
And then you just listen.
Yes.
You can't contribute valuably to the sport.
No, I can, based off what I've heard other people have said. So it's like, oh, you favor Liverpool. Oh, aren't they on a losing streak? They're like, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
And you just go,
And then they'll say something about, like, Manchester, and I was like, yeah, aren't they like third on the log? And then they school me.
Say, no, they're actually second on the log.
Yeah. And then they mention names. I don't know those guys. And I was like, oh, did he recently join? Nah, he was with that. And then I'm like, See, in the conversation done.
And you're in the convo. You have friends at the braai.
Guys, we've got to go back to this. We've got to go back to this quickly. Sugar Shabalala says, what about Madonna? That's a no-no. I mean, she's just...
No, Sugar. Sugar, brother, remove that comment immediately.
Very embarrassing.
I'm judging you,
you know,
and your
my
taste.
My thing is with Madonna.
Yeah?
Okay? Is that she was hot, right? She had the whole, like, I'm not afraid of my body and I'm going to express myself at a time when it was frowned upon. And I believe she like led the movement and she became a global superstar. Then she became a global superstar, MILF. Then she became a global superstar, GILF. Her time is up. She's beyond GILF. She looks like one of those characters in From Dusk Till Dawn. the undead. Selma Hayek needs to put a stake in her heart. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing at this point. And she's got children. Like, that's your mom? Mom.
I think she
has the rest.
Doesn't she have grandchildren by now? I don't know. So Pumlani says, what about Connie Ferguson? Because if we think about local, Connie Ferguson, she doesn't look bad for her age, right? So
Connie Ferguson, yeah, no, she re-upped her. She's in the gym every day.
Yeah,
I think she's still in MILF territory. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is Connie Ferguson over 50? Because she doesn't look it. Connie Ferguson, she goes to my gym or a gym I previously used to attend.
Okay.
So I can tell you, what you see online is like minimal editing. The auntie's packing.
Mapelo says Alicia Keys. Alex says MILF. Kate Kinsale.
MILF.
I would say both of those are good. Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas also, Matthew says.
Have you seen her recently?
Yeah, I was going to say she's moving into the Madonna path.
Yeah, it's the, you know what it is, Waris? It's the plastic.
It's the frog face.
Yeah, it's if they have too much of the plastic surgery, you know, if they age gracefully. I mean, look, like, I don't think Jennifer Lopez has a single wrinkle, so I don't know how she's doing it because she looks. Although, while we're on J-Lo, she just got divorced from Ben Affleck for the second time, I think.
And again.
She's also like, coming.
She's on to like 8 divorces at this point. I think she's got the record.
She's racked up the numbers.
But she must be horrible to live with, even if she looks that good, right?
That's what I think. You know, I feel like, you know, Garrett, you get 2 types of women.
Yeah.
You get like marriage woman, and then you get like recreational enjoyment woman. And J-Lo is coming with a recreational enjoyment woman spec. But she keeps trying out this marriage thing. And all the guys that she marries are like, I should have left you in the recreational enjoyment section.
Right.
And then she's back on the dating market. Kim Kardashian's another one. She's attempted this marriage thing, but she's like the queen of recreational fuckery.
You were busy on X Twitter yesterday. I saw you. They posted this video of like Kanye, but he was all wrapped up. You couldn't tell if it was Kanye or not. You think it wasn't him because he didn't walk like Kanye and he didn't have his swagger.
No.
Is this a conspiracy theory? What was actually going on in that video? I don't know anything about this.
Kanye is doing this thing of late where he pulls up with his wife, Bianca Censori, whom he dresses up like an NPC character from GTA / doll. Okay, he just makes and like what is the word? She's being objectified. He dresses her up to be objectified, if that makes sense.
Sometimes humiliating.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If we go beyond objectification, let's go to humiliation. Because I don't know why he dresses her in see-through things. We can see her boobs. We can see her whole bum. She's basically naked. And then he parades her around. All that's missing is a leash because she doesn't move more than 2 paces.
It's because they're always holding hands.
That's it. And then he dresses in the beekeeper outfit. So he covers his face. And I don't know if it's him or if it's not him, but there are some conspiracy theories that suggest that Kanye is no more. And this NPC, you know, it's an NPC. Do you all know it's an NPC? I've got kids, so I know what an NPC is.
Non-player character. So it would be people in a video game that are not actually like programmed.
Yes, they're kind of just there like placeholders. And there's a placeholder who's replaced Kanye West that pulls up at all these fashion shows. So he pulls up at fashion shows, say it's Paris Fashion Week. He's got Bianca here in tow. She's dressed like a stripper. And he's covered in the beekeeper outfit. And obviously the paparazzi swarm to them and they're like, da-da-da-da-da, Kanye and Bianca and his wife Bianca. And I'm like, that is not Kanye. Take off the mask and let's see if it's Kanye. I don't know how he gets into these events without showing his face.
But Waris, what I need to
be that, bro.
So what's really going on there? Because this guy is super weird. You know, Kanye said some bizarre things. We know he's extremely creative and, you know, he could be like a genius. And in fact, some of the stuff he's done is genius. I mean, you can't fault the guy when he's doing the stuff he's really good at. But I think this is just another very, very weird thing. Like, I'm totally freaked out by Hollywood at the moment. There's so much creepy, weird stuff going on in there. What do you think is actually happening with Kanye?
I don't know. I think I'm leaning towards the creep side because you've got to figure out, is Kanye weird on purpose or is he weird by mistake? Yeah. You know, some superstars are weird by mistake where it's like, okay, this guy doesn't actually mean to, like, I feel like Marilyn Manson was weird by mistake. I feel like he was just like that and then he was weird to the rest of the world. Whereas Kanye, it's like he's going out of his way to be weird sometimes. He's going out of his way to say the most sensational things. Mm-hmm. But at some point, are you not going to rein it in? Be the Kanye that we know and love. Be the genius. Or are you just going to be this weird guy forevermore? How many times are you going to go out with Bianca dressed like an NPC and you dressed as a beekeeper? Like, that style is tired now.
And don't you know,
he used it for the first fashion show. Now he's using it for everything.
And also, if you're Kanye, aren't you just tired of that kind of attention? Doesn't it feel like you're making a huge effort for very cheap attention, like the cameras? That's,
not if you're weird on purpose. So I say maybe he's doing it on purpose because this is the reaction that he wants. But I feel like it's boring now. Like, you know, do something else.
You know what isn't boring is we had a conversation in the office the other day. And this is, by the way, there was no, I didn't have like a plan for bringing you on the show this morning. It was just a fun thing that I thought we should do because the last time you were on the show was when we were just starting The Real Network. Show's going well. I mean, you guys have had some fantastic guests. I laugh my ass off every time I see one of your interviews. And
Thank you, Zimbiwe.
Are you happy with your producer? Actually, the reason we brought you on is you, do you want to fire Simpiwe or are you happy with her?
What did you do?
So.
What did you
pick
do?
Pick your words. What us?
You know, that's a conversation for me and Simpiwe. No, man. Simpiwe is lying. I actually got the WhatsApp last night.
Okay.
This is like, what is that show called of Donald Trump? The Apprentice.
Apprentice, yeah.
You're fired.
Simpiwe,
you can't get rid of me now. I'm telling you now, I'm not going anywhere.
I have a contract.
I know my rights.
We're happy. You know, obviously, we're also still figuring out a lot of stuff, but as we're working through it, we kind of, PH described it as, he said, we're building the aeroplane as we're flying.
And
so far so good. By the time we get into these chairs and we record those episodes and they go out, bro, we nail it. So far so good. At least from a feedback perspective, people love it. You've seen on Twitter the type of feedback that we're getting, and in the streets, people come up to me and they're like, "Hey, I saw you the podcast." You know, and then they ask questions related to the podcast, which is really like, that's my barometer. Is that how well are people listening? Are they able to quote word for word what we spoke about? Does the conversation continue when we get off the podcast and into the streets? So far, so good.
Have we crossed the 50,000 mark yet, Simpiwe, with subscribers?
We're about to. We're almost 600 subscribers away. I'm feeling some type of way because I can't win the 50K. And you guys know how much I love Chalete.
Are we on 49.4?
Yes!
Are we moving?
So you could be the lucky person who wins 50,000 rand, and PH and Waras will deliver it in cash, apparently.
Hand deliver it, I get it. We even looked into the banking laws. So PH can carry 24,000 cash on him I can carry 24,000 cash on me.
Okay, and so Zimbabwe, I can do the
can 2,000.
Okay, we'll take three cars that day.
Yes. We're all drawing it from our personal accounts. Oh, so wow. As long as you do it too.
Well, we have had a conversation in the office the other day about like Muti and about like, and I know you guys are going to start laughing before I've even finished this story, but about like the underworld and all these guys who go to these I suppose they're sangomas, but these are the guys who like protect you with their Muti, right? I mean, we're talking about politicians and all of that shit. And it was fascinating. And everybody in the office was taking part and listening. And I mean, there's a whole world of shit going on there that we don't even know about. Because I brought up Gogo Mieni and Gogo Maweni rather, and Gogo Skotan. And Simpiwe won't have them on the show. She won't even have them in the building. She's like freaked out by
I don't play those games. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's why we have white stones at the entrance of the Real Network.
But I mean, you were telling me some amazing stories about like these famous people who have these guys who travel around with them and who protect them. Like they have magic. They have, and they believe in this stuff, and it's for them, it is totally real.
Well, remember, if the person, so say for example, Gareth Cliff has got his Nyanga that he moves with. Mm-hmm. And we know that Gareth moves with the Nyanga. And things start happening like one by one, where we're like, hey, you see, that wouldn't have happened if he didn't have a Nyanga. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, say I participate in an election and then I'm not happy with the result, and then I announce that, hey, I'm not happy with the result. Mm-hmm. And everybody says, whatever, go away. Next thing, tornadoes in my province. People are going to be like, listen to this guy. He's going to smite us because he's got Nyanga.
Right.
You know, that pressure is going to start. So I think things happen to lend credibility to the power that these people have.
I mean, Barely Vocal in the comments says, how many artists in South Africa are consulting witch doctors, especially the ones that are getting so big and so successful? There's a lot of this that goes on, man. And I know in Durban once, I was walking around, which I don't know you want to do that in the CBD now, but I remember like stumbling on this market where they had, like, you could buy anything you wanted there. And people were
like
buying
stuff. Like a Muti market.
Yeah, Muti market, dude. There's like a hand of a chimpanzee or whatever else. I mean, there was everything that you could wish for. And
view his face.
And this show
is lucky he's not yet.
Like a hand of a chimpanzee, as if that's a normal trade.
Yeah, you could buy all this crazy shit, and you could see like the people who were shopping around there. They knew what they were after. Like they, you know, they need this, the eye of this bat, or they need some kind of claw of this animal or whatever. And then they would little bundle of hair and weird shit. Like, people were buying this stuff. And I still thought, this is happening, whether people are aware of it or not. Most of us go about our daily business and we don't know about all of this stuff that's going on. But people who are into it and who believe it, they will sacrifice huge amounts of money to make sure that they're protected, that they, you know, and you see the posters on the street poles as well of like, you know, penis cures and like love.
Penis cures, incidental. If you read the poster, there's other things that they can help with. But I was going to tell you, we had an incident because, you know, like, you know, we do the security stuff in the CBD. And one of our affiliates, they do the security in Braamfontein. So this was kind of like on the border of Braamfontein getting into Heelbrow, I can't remember which street. But get a call on the radio and they're like, yo, you need to come here. These guys are busy setting up a Muti market like right outside my building.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're like, okay, cool. This guy's like, let's go there. So we drive over to this place and we get to this corner. And the building itself is like a, it's like an accommodation, like a student accommodation offices.
Okay.
Owned by or managed by a black guy.
Yeah.
He was inside. All his staff was inside. They locked the door. They placed the call. And the security that's supposed to secure that street. We were standing there on the top corner,
yeah,
called for backup. And the people, like when we got there and found these guys, they weren't violent or whatever, but they had their blankets on the pavement, which is not allowed because it's actually a bylaw infringement. You can't just put your blanket anyway. Put the blankets on the pavement. The muti was set out on the blanket. Everything, meat, like different liquids in bottles, jars of this, that, and the other. Herbs, sure. Yeah, herbs there. So we pull up there. Obviously, we now have to engage these guys to say, listen, you know, you can't sell here. And they were, when I say fresh from KZN, they were in a Corolla. Like the Twin Cam 16 valve version. Doesn't get more KZN than that. This thing was fresh too. It looked like it was like a 2019 model. But it's actually a 96 model. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were dressed in traditional, like they looked like Nyangas.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't actually bothering anyone. They were just setting up their little store and they were going to sell. But everyone in that building and anyone that had anything to say or should have had something to say distanced themselves. They were like, we're not going to tell those guys to go away. They'll fucking put a curse on us. You tell them. You're in charge of the security in this area. You're the supervisor. Make them go away type of thing.
Yeah.
We had to obviously call Metro Police to then come as backup. But you could see that the cops that came, the other security officials who had to actually go and engage, everybody was uncomfortable having to chase these guys because they felt like, I don't want to be the one to get the curse put on me.
Oh, I didn't mistake.
You know, and the one guy was saying to me, Waras, me, Pooza. You know, like he was like, drink this.
Drink.
Like it's going to make you strong. And I'm like, no, my bro, I think I'll pass. I'm not going to drink a strange thing in a 500 milliliter Coke bottle with no label. What is this?
I know a guy who's a Sangoma and younger, and he's got lots of work, man. He's booked up. He's got clients.
He's booked and busy.
Mm-hmm.
Busy. He's busy, busy, busy. And I think
Have you been to him, Gareth, for something for the GCS? Yeah. Sure.
There we go. Now you've discovered my secret. I've got good mood.
What's that above your left shoulder there? It looks like a chimpanzee paw.
Somebody said in the comment, what did I buy at the Muti market? And I didn't buy anything. But I should have. We once, when we were kids, we found like, I think it must have been like a tusk from a warthog or something. And I made it into the stick. And no, this is when you're a kid, right? And you think this thing has powers and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like some people, they find things, they imbue these objects with power, they believe in the stuff. If you believe something strongly enough, it's true.
Becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some people are terrified. They will not leave the house unless they know they've got a blessing. And I'm not just talking about people here in South Africa who are into like traditional medicine. I'm talking about religious people all over the world. And not even religious people, but superstitious people, you know, won't walk under a ladder. If they see a black cat, it's a bad sign. You can make fun of these people all you like, but this is how they really believe this stuff. I mean,
look, I still do those things. I won't walk under a ladder.
Same here.
And if I see a black cat, I'm chasing it away. Mustn't cross my path. Must fucking run back that way.
Telling you, man.
Cover the mirrors when it's storming.
Yeah, I thought that was just like, yeah, my grand. I learned that from my grand. Still do it today.
I hate this chair. It's booby trapped. Karen, what is with this booby trapped chair? Dude? Look it's at this.
And that's how the equipment got broken.
It's his mooty. He put mooty on this chair. If someone else sits here, break. The hell is what Dumbledore is this?
Mapela says they once found a very expensive old painting at a Durban market. And I think it's the same one I found. Yeah, it's quite possible. I mean, you know, again.
Speaking of paintings, did Mapela say a Durban market?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dude, have you been to the Oyster Box in Durban?
Not for 4 or 5 years, but I've been there before, yeah.
Okay, if you're there, or if you go past, even if it's for lunch or whatever, because the rooms per night are ludicrously expensive, but the paintings on the walls look like some sort of like circa 1880 slave trade.
Really?
Honestly, the paintings are weird. And I thought it was strange because I was like, I was trying to ascertain how old are these paintings, because I don't think they're sort of like just part of the design. I think it's kind of paintings that they've hung on the walls to tell the story of Durban and how it came into being. Very creepy.
I like old stuff, hey? I mean, I love old things. So I collect like old pictures and little statues and all kinds of shit. And it's not because I'm...
Are you not afraid they've got a curse on them?
You know what? We had this conversation, remember, in the office the other day, and I said to you, if you want to sell a haunted house, I'll buy it, because I'm not scared of that shit. And But for many people, this stuff is very scary. I mean, some people won't spend a night in a very old house because they think it's haunted, for example. So, I mean, this shit's happening and it's real, hey? People are into this. Sanella says, now I know why I have to tune into the show every morning against my will. Gareth practices creative African science.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Creative African science, CAS.
Okay.
Sanella went to the wrong Sangoma for that penis enlargement, and now he's forced to listen to the show every day.
Yeah, to see just an answer. have you been? I think we should take Gareth to like Mai.
Yeah, I think you enjoy it. I have a very restricted experience with Mai just because I'm a female.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to get raped. So
it's that place, Gareth. You know, the one where you can't walk there with the mini skirt.
Yeah, you must have a dog on, everything covered. Don't let anybody speak to you. Don't eat iskopo. So, yeah.
Yeah. You think they'll pull that move?
You can't go past
I used to take taxis, and I've seen taxi drivers proper shella. So, I mean, if it's a...
It's fine, Simpy, where you know me now. We will go.
Listen, I mean, Waris has got some serious stories about the security stuff and the things he's seen. Jesus, unbelievable.
Yeah,
I've seen some pictures. One day,
like, I wanted to have like a... Like a security reality show of like what goes on there, you know, or like on some of the, because there's so many, like I would say within the group, you know, like when you meet these guys, if you work with these guys, if you come into contact with them, collectively, the places they go and the stories they see, like people from elsewhere in the world are making shows about it. And if you, you know, if you go on YouTube and you look at like what happens in the slums in Brazil or the slums in Mexico or wherever, people find that stuff really, really interesting. And I feel like we've got such a like a mix of cultures and things just in CBD alone that would, like, honestly, if somebody could just get that onto a platform so people can see it, I think you'll see a whole new dynamic to South Africa. Governing of national unity doesn't even know.
It's another world there.
I think people would love to watch that. And someone even said in the comments here, we should just put a body cam on you and just see what you get up to with all that stuff, because I think it would be fun.
Not what us.
Yeah, no. I'll get cancelled.
PG.
It'd be like, you know that Cizoctola show where everybody, I'm sure you've seen it, Gareth, it's the one on Mojala. So everybody loved the show because they were like, yeah, catch these drug dealers. Yeah, show them, you know. And then somebody died. And now people are like, why can't we see the body cam footage? You know, like, because what happens off camera is heavy. So there's just some stuff that can't make it onto body cam. Otherwise, like, people stop being fans of the show. Then I'll become enemy of the state again.
Is there anywhere in Joburg that you won't go? Like, if you are asked to come and check something out, or you got mates who... Yeah, you know, in the security business, and they tell you that we're going here, you're like, no, that's one place I'm not going to go.
You know, to be honest with you, if you really want to play with your life, I wouldn't go to Westbury.
Really?
Yeah. Westbury is a war zone. There you can get shot for being in a white car.
Jesus.
You're driving in a white, like, there's the shootings there is really, really bad. It obviously goes through waves where it's really bad some weeks, and kind of calms down, but the number of like hitmen, shootings, senseless killings that's happening there I used to go there before because there was a place. What is it called? Was it Anissa's? I think there was a like a spy course place, man. Mm-hmm. You go and you buy like schoolboys and schoolgirls. Yeah, what is that food called?
Like slap chips.
Like slap chips and yeah, okay. But it's like bread with slap chips, bologna, Russian.
Almost like a Gatsby, but like in a sandwich format.
Vibe. Yes, mm-hmm. Traditional like colored auntie takeaway stuff. And you could go there and you could get like this, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken, the name was Anissa's. You'd get like the Anissa's special, which was a sandwich I would drive from the north for. Yeah. But now that shop happens to be located in Westbury in a place where if I go for that sandwich, I'll probably get killed. And I'm not even a gangster. I'm not affiliated. It's got nothing to do with me, but the crossfire is dangerous. So that's probably, would be number one on my list. And then like 2, 3, 4 would probably be places. There's places in and around like in Hillbrow mm-hmm. that you don't want to go. There's places in Rosettenville where you're playing with your life. If you think you're going to just rock up there and operate.
I think Hillbrow and Rosettenville would have been on my list, but I didn't think of Westbury. That's fucking amazing. And you know, Westbury, the first neighborhood in Johannesburg where black people could actually live. Like after they, you know, with group areas and everything. And then obviously colored people and like there's a history there. But that place, that's the no-go zone for you then. It's definitely
no-go zone for me. But I really feel for the people there because often there's been, you know, like these uprisings where the community marches, just on your point about it being one of the first resettlement areas. It's actually called Sophiatown. The police station is called Sophiatown Police Station, which is adjacent to Westbury. And then it's Nuclear and Triumph. Hey, Gareth, have you heard?
Triumph. That was like famously one of those areas that was cleared out during the group areas thing. And then it was resettled. And, you know, they moved people around. It was like social engineering. Unbelievable.
Mm. And they put them there. Yeah. And it's not going so well in my estimate.
Yes.
You know, like you can give it whatever name you like. Because Westbury is actually stolen from England. Uh-huh. Isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of our names here, Wentworth, Sydenham.
Yes. Yeah.
are traditionally British names. But they don't match the areas that they're named after, to say the least. But I was saying, like, the community of Westbury, like, it's just such a, it's like a hopeless situation that they're in. Because kids are dying. Kids are the shooters. Some of these assassins are like 14, 15 years old. And I don't think that at 14, 15 years old, you can properly take on the responsibility, not responsibility, but like the job of being a hitman. Like you're not doing it now, like in the movies. Now you're just a kid who thinks that this is a game and you're going to earn money from it. But the devastation that you're causing to your community and to other people's lives is just like incalculable. That's Westbury.
You're
fucking with people who don't even understand that killing you is a bad thing.
Yeah, like the fast guns and the what Varados or something. There was like the old gangs of the original like gangs. But those oaks, you don't mess with those people here.
Yeah, Bruno. Well, what do we do then? Like, do we just section the place off and leave them alone? Somebody's gotta help those people.
And the weird thing is, like you mentioned Brazil and Mexico and all these things. Like this happens in almost all countries in the world. There's, you know, you go to London and Paris and you will find like areas that no one wants to go into. It's this happens everywhere. We've just got ours and I'm fascinated to hear about it because you know what goes on. Like most people.
I know some of the stuff, but believe it or not, I also try to stay away as often as I can. But it's sometimes it's like an adrenaline. I don't know if you're an adrenaline junkie. Like you want to go there. Like, you know, when you're near the action.
You want to be the steering.
No, you don't want to be the steering. Definitely, you want to be behind the steerings. Yeah, the steering gets shot or gets hurt. You don't want to be in front. I don't want to be in front. I just want to be like here. So what I'd like to do is I want to be here so that I've got the body cam on and I film Gareth and Simpiwe going into the belly of the beast. And I'm there to commentate.
You got the wrong one. Say, get it, boy. I'm not even going to be there.
Okay, well, listen. If you want to be the 50,000th subscriber and you want to win 50K in cash, Simpiwe and Warris and PH will deliver it at your house or at your place of work in bags, in like duffel bags.
Yeah, you can have integers of 24, 24, and 2.
There we go.
I'm sure about that too, but
if you want the cash money, then you need to sign up and subscribe. And if you haven't already subscribed to The Real Network, I don't know what the hell you're doing. Because honestly, like we've been going at this since March. There are a whole bunch of episodes under the belt. If you haven't already subscribed and you don't know what Warris and PH are up to every week, you are missing out big time. That's all I can say. Warris, it's lucky to have you.
We've only been going at this since March.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, we're only 3 months in, fam.
I know. It's amazing, dude.
And for me, we've surpassed everything that I thought we'd surpass in 3 months. You know what I mean? Like, I was looking at being here in about 6 months. That's the honest story. I'm not even making that up to sound cool. Like, no, it's really just like...
I'm super proud of it, and I think that the audience are loving what's being churned out, and they'll tell us if they're not. But I think everybody's... Certainly, the feedback I'm seeing is just totally positive, and people are having a very good time listening to the show. So if you haven't already joined up, then this is just a reminder. You want that 50,000, you must do it now. And you could be the winner. It's going to be, it's only going to go better from here. So if you've already been enjoying it, there's even better to come. All right, Warris, lucky to see you, man. We'll check you out later.
I thank you, GC. Our next team lunch is going to be at my Gareth Cliff Simpiwe. We're out here. 50,000 for 50,000. Yes.
What did you think of Marvin's choice of where we had our team lunch last Friday?
It was different.
Korean
I haven't bar. Been to a place like that. But it was lekker. Once I figured out how to cook my own food on that skillet,
yes.
Then I was in. Because in the beginning when they brought the raw meat and I was like, what is this contraption? We were trying to figure out
how
to
burning.
Open the gas. I wasn't having a good time. But then I figured it out and I was like,
I
can hang out here. Yeah, I can bring chicks on dates here.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's perfect. All right.
So the next one can be at my. Are we in agreement?
I don't have a problem with that. I'm up for it.
Simpiwe, write that down.
Simpiwe, just remember, you better dress properly. Simpiwe, no high heel shoes or trapezanas or any of that stuff. All right.
I'll be in a duke. Don't worry. Yes. All covered up, guys.
Yes. Simpiwe, dress like we're going to Iran.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right, everybody, have an awesome weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning at 6 a.m. bright and early. And don't forget to subscribe and get on to the latest episode of the Shady Podcast. Also, on the Bounce Show, there's so much going on at the moment. Don't get left out. Ciao, everybody. Bye.